Just before I start my testimony, we'll just bow our heads and prayer. I need the Lord's help for this. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence, Lord, and thank you for such a meeting as this, Lord. Please, Lord, just bless this testimony now, Lord, and just take this mouth and fill it full of words for your honour and your glory, Lord. And speak to the unsaved that's watching this meeting, Lord. Amen. I just want to start with reading one verse of scripture. And it's found in Psalm 106, and it's the verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. As most in our church know, I'm not a public speaker. I am of nervous and quiet personality and happy to work for the Lord in the background among the boys and girls and the young people. I'm also part of the church media team. When the Reverend Martin asked if anyone in the church wished to give their testimony, I prayed to the Lord to help to give my testimony, and that it may encourage others. If I can do it with the promise of God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, then God will help others to witness for his glory. I thank and praise God that I have a testimony to tell of his saving grace in my life. I am the second of two boys having the privilege of being born into a Christian home, the children of Norman and Hazel McElroy. From an early age, my parents took us along to church and Sunday school at Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, Portadown, where we faithfully heard the gospel taught and preached by the Reverend Kenneth Elliott. At home, Mum and Dad taught us the word of God, and Mum taught us to recite the scriptures off by heart. Our young lives changed in September 1985, when as a result of my dad, an RUC officer, and our home being targeted by paramilitaries, we had to move overnight from our families and friends to emergency accommodation in Donaghadee. While in Donaghadee, it was a Friday afternoon in early December. I was 6 years of old and had just got home from school, and Mum had dressed me for going out that evening to a panto in Belfast. While waiting for my brother Jonathan to come home from school, Dad had to go to Eaton Arch to collect the part for his car and took me with him. As we drove past Donaghadee Rugby Club towards Eaton Arch, I heard a crash as the roof of the car crashed in and my head was squashed down beside the handbrake. I remember my face damp and now covered in blood. I was stuck. Dad freed me from the seat, and as he carried me out of the car, I clearly remember a large tree had fallen on top of the car. The passenger front, where I had been seated, was totally flat. Dad wrapped my head tight with the hood of my coat, and with the help of another motorist, took me to Donaghadee Health Centre. Doctors worked with me until I was removed to hospital. My parents were able to recall that I was taken into surgery for an operation to repair my head and face. Glass was removed from my brain. My head was scalped from front to back with the glass from the front inside mirror, resulting, I'm told, with 42 stitches on the top of my head and 18 stitches down my face. You know, if I had been put into the back seat where I normally was, I would have died because the complete back of the car was flattened to the ground. That is why I quoted Psalm 106 verse 1, because that day God was merciful to me, and I can testify that he has been merciful to me ever since. To the child of God, his mercy endures forever. I spent 2 weeks in hospital due to the brain injury, but with the prayers of my parents and other Christians, God fully healed me. You know, unsaved friend, even though I was only 6 years of age, I knew right from wrong. I knew that I needed to be saved and forgiven of my sin. I had heard the gospel from a child and understood it. That day, if I had died at only 6, I would have been in a lost eternity. I knew that place was hell. It wasn't until another 5 years later, in the summer of 1990, that I came as a hell-deserving sinner to the Lord. It was at Jutenard's Baptist Campaigners summer camp in Port Stewart. Every day there was a camp gospel meeting where a leader brought a faithful gospel message. And during one meeting, God spoke to me with regard to salvation. God gave me the wisdom not to delay. I spoke to the leader, and there and then he pointed me to the Lord. In my own words, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. God's mercy endure forever. Just after I got saved, I started high school. I hated the place. And from day one, I told my teachers and the other pupils that I met with that I was saved and a Christian. Yes, it was tough due to the fact I was shy and quiet and found it difficult to make friends. I did like only 2 things about the school, break time and home time. The first hour back home each day wasn't great either, because mum was stricter than teachers and stood over me until I learned my spellings, maths and done my homework. Even though I was a teenager, I cried and bawled, but it never worked with mum. But I thank God for a faithful mum that was as good as any teacher. She was both my education teacher and spiritual teacher. My parents started in 1991 to Cumber Free Presbyterian Church, where I have been attending ever since. I got involved in children's work, helping Robert on the buses and in the meeting, and a leader in the youth fellowship, and doing any work I was able to do for the Lord. When I left school, I was determined to be a chef, and that is what I trained to be and still do to this day. The first places I worked, I had to work at night and on a Sunday. But in one restaurant in Donaghadee, the head chef was a Roman Catholic, a gentleman. He knew from the day I started that I was a Christian. He took me aside from the others and told me that whenever I required off for church, he would see that I got away or come in later on a Sunday. In 2007, I was offered a job in Colin and Linda McKee's farm shop, where there was no nighttime work, or most importantly, no Sunday work. I am thankful to God for such employers as Colin and Linda, and the blessing reminds me that God's mercy endures forever. McKee's Farm Shop was just not a workplace for me. It was also a place of romance. With help from the woman we call Auntie Anne, who also goes to this church, she helped me through my shyness to meet a Christian girl who also worked in the restaurant, Laura, who I am now happily married to. Friends, I've gone through a lot of storms in my life, but God has just as the Reverend Martin has been preaching on lately, been with me all the way. God said, for the benefit of his children, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Young Christian, I encourage you to get involved in the work of God in your church. If you are not able to be a person out front or speak in public, be like me, plenty of work in the background. No shortage of tasks for you. Psalm 84 and the verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Unsafe listening. If you were like me to be involved in an accident, and even worse, you were to die suddenly, there is only one place you would be, and that is that lost eternity called hell. John chapter 3 and the verse 16, the full gospel message for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, I can truly say that God's mercy endureth forever. I thank God every day for being born into a Christian family, giving me a Christian wife, and putting me into a gospel-preaching church. The ministers faithful to the blood and the word of God, allowing me to serve him in his work. Thank you. Amen.
I would just like to sincerely thank our brother Kyle for volunteering. He wasn't a conscript, he volunteered, he met me at the door, and he says, I would like to give my testimony. He was the only one, I think, that actually volunteered, and others had to be just coerced just slightly, but not too much. But Kyle, thank you so much for that very clear, precise, and from the heart word of testimony, and how good the Lord is. And you've heard about that, and you've seen it in the life of his servant Kyle, preserving him, and then saving him, and then bringing him into the work of God, and into work with the boys and girls and the young people, and also with the media team, and then tonight just standing in the pulpit in the house of God and sharing with you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for his soul. Our souls have been blessed already, and we do rejoice in that. So we've still more to come, and we'll hurry on. Just want to make some announcements for the incoming week in the will of the Lord. I would remind you that at 1 minute past midnight on Thursday evening, the churches are allowed to meet again. So that means we have the meetings resumed in the will of God. This Tuesday night, we're still online. There's no congregation for our prayer meeting and Bible study. Remember the change of time just for the period of lockdown, or circuit breaker, whatever they call it. It's 7 o'clock on Tuesday night for our Bible study and prayer meeting. And then, in the will of the Lord, we have our youth fellowship on Friday evening at 8 p.m. Our men's prayer meeting as well at 10 o'clock. So do please keep these things in mind. On the Lord's Day, we have our Sabbath school at 10:15. 11:30, in the will of the Lord, I'll be here to minister the word of the Lord. And then in the evening time, We do continue our special testimonies and singing meetings. We have one of our elders, Mr. Jackie Alistair, along to share a personal word of testimony, and our brother Stephen McAreevy from our Lisburn congregation will be here in the will of God to minister in song. Please keep these matters in mind, and we trust the Lord will be with us. In regard to our brother Robert, who spoke to the boys and girls this morning in our Sunday school, and the FPC kids on Facebook and YouTube, there will be an online gospel mission. It's shortly after Christmas, from about the 28th to the 31st of December. The time we're not sure of yet, but boys and girls, keep an eye out for those details. The online mission, Monday through Friday, maybe Thursday the 31st. So do please keep these things in mind. We're not sure if it's in the morning or the evening, but we'll let you know whenever we have that information to hand. I think that's all by way of announcements. Just to mention that next Sunday night as well, we do have our young adults at 8:30. And for our congregation and friends that are listening and folks who will return again to this house, we've purchased as a committee a machine for fogging the church. That has been done on a weekly basis, although we don't need to do that scientifically according to the disinfectant that's used in the fogging machine. But we are assured that it keeps the place sanitised, at least all the furniture and all the items here in the church. It does no damage, by the way, to clothing. We've all sussed this out. It does no harm to furniture or upholstery or piano or organ or computer or any other item within the church. But it does sanitise it and it disinfects it, and it keeps it clean, does a very deep clean. But we're doing it on a weekly basis just to build up a layer of protection, just to give you assurance for coming in and out of the house of God. Just before we hear again from our sister Vivian, and then we'll invite our brother David Gilmore to share his testimony, we're going to have another item of praise, that is congregational pre-recorded singing. If we could only have just two verses of the hymn, men, if that was okay. It's 304 if you're using the hymn book. The words should come up on screen. We're never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. Well, we're going to ask her sister Vivian just to bring her final message in song, and then straight after that, our brother Mr. David Gilmore will share with us a personal word of testimony. Thank you.
Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood. Who His love will not remember? Who can cease to sing His praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven. with eternal days. On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and hence peace and perfect justice kiss the guilty world in love. Let me all thy love accepting, love thee ever all my days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life be in thy praise. Thou alone shalt be my glory, nothing in this world I see. Thou hast cleansed and sanctified me, Thou thyself hast set me free. In thy truth thou dost direct me, by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace my need is meeting, as I trust in thee, my Lord. Of thy fullness thou art pouring thy great love and power on me, without measure, full and boundless, drawing out my heart to thee. Of thy fullness thou art pouring thy great love and power on me, without measure, full and boundless, drawing out my heart to thee.
Just like to thank the Reverend Martin for this opportunity to give my testimony tonight. I know I'd rather be down at the back at my normal spot at the sound desk rather in front of the camera. I'd just like to give this opportunity to thank the men down at the back who do such good work week in, week out. They're here early and they put a lot of effort in. I'd just like to thank them here tonight. But it was during the first lockdown in March to June that I suggested to Reverend Martin people who could give their testimony. And some of these people have said it's now payback time, including Mr. James Watson, who's in Canada, and Rachel Hamilton. And for those of you who are listening, who are unfamiliar with the term giving your testimony, it is simply telling what God has done in your life and how you came to trust in Him for salvation. And I am thankful that I have a testimony to give. I'd just like to read a couple of verses from Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Just like to open a wee word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank thee for this opportunity, Lord, tonight. We thank thee for thy word that has went forth today. We thank you for the testimony of Kyle, and we thank you for the singing, Lord. Praise, Lord, that you will use me and help me, Lord, tonight. Amen. I was born in 1972 and was brought up on a farm outside Clenchy, County Down. From a very early age, I can remember taking along to church and to Sunday school. My dad came from a Presbyterian background and my mum was from a Brethren. So as a compromise, each Sunday we would attend the Presbyterian church in the morning and the Brethren at night. We were sent along to the Sunday school at Scrabble Hall in the afternoon, as my auntie was a Sunday school teacher there. Maybe you can remember being sent along to a Sunday school and still be able to recite the verses you learnt and choruses you sang. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Although I didn't realise it at the time, it was a real blessing to faithful teachers to teach the word of God to us as children. As a child, I can remember attending huge tent missions where Hedley Murphy was the evangelist. I was amazed at the large crowds which would attend him, and I can clearly remember hearing of my need of salvation at these missions. I attended the local primary school and then went to Down High School in Downpatrick. Like most young boys born on a farm, I wanted to be a farmer. And each morning I would get up early and feed young calves before I went to school. For me, the best thing about school was the bus home from it. I would rush home from school, dump the school bag, get changed into my old clothes, and head out into the yard to find what had gone on that day. I never really had any problems at school, but I kept my beliefs to myself. And at the age of 18, to my great joy, I got to eventually leave school and to enjoy my dad on our farm. The problem with farming, as well as the very poor pay, is that it can be a very lonely life. And at the age of 18, you're looking for lots of fun and outings. So I joined our local young farmers club. The social aspect of it took me to places that I wasn't comfortable with and where I knew I shouldn't be. I didn't realise it at this time, but the Holy Spirit was working in my life. And in the summer of 1990, I attended the Northfield Bible Tent Mission in Newcastle. And that night, I came under conviction of my sin. I can't remember who the speaker was or what he was preaching on, but I knew it was time to get saved and give my life over to the Lord Jesus. And that night, I asked the Lord into my heart. From that point on, my life started to head in a different direction. The Bible says, as I've already read in Psalm 40, verse 2, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." God was in control of life, and on reflection, I can see his mighty hand in my life. I always remember seeing on Sunday nights the Brethren girls walking up and down the main street in Newcastle, with their long hair and even longer skirts. And I kept thinking to myself, I wouldn't mind meeting a girl like that. In the autumn of 1992, I did. However, she wasn't of Brethren, but of the Free Presbyterian persuasion. And she came from the Bible Belt of Portadown. And as an added bonus, she was a farmer's daughter. Lorna was saved. And on the first date, she took me along to the cleft in the Civic Centre near Craigavon. This was on a Saturday night, and the young Christians used to come from all across Northern Ireland to meet here. Each week, different speakers would bring a message relevant to young people. We sang choruses, and there were special singers each night. And afterwards, juice and biscuits and some chat. It was a bit like our youth rallies are now. Our young people need our prayers more than ever, as places like the cleft are getting fewer and fewer, and with COVID, have actually ground to a halt. And I was so pleased recently when the Martyrs Memorial had their youth rally again. There are less places for the young ones to meet up with other Christians, and sadly more opportunities for them to be drawn out into the world. The choruses I sang at Sunday school were also sung at the cleft, and I enjoyed the singing. Lorna also took me along to every church youth rally there was around Portadown, including Banbridge, Dungannon and Tandragee. And it was at a youth rally one night at Tandragee that I first heard the Reverend Samuel Murray preaching. He preached on the value of choosing the correct partner in life and not to go with one who wasn't saved, as they will pull you down. I enjoyed his preaching very much. And at this time I was attending the Baptist Church in Saintfield. But one Sunday morning, almost 25 years ago, I decided I would just drive on to Cumber and hear this minister again. I felt this was the path that the Lord was leading me. I slipped into the back seat, on my own, where Betty and Jackie usually sit, and everyone was really friendly. and I have been here ever since. The Reverend Samuel Murray introduced me to a few of the young people back then, and I was 23. The first one I met was Ian Moore, and then I met Heather Allen. We were all described now as the old ones in the church. I also remember my first time coming to the prayer meeting in Cumber. We used to meet in a wee old porter cabin where the church hall now is. And I had a desire to hear more about the Word of God. I believe that this is an important meeting as well as the Sunday worship. About this time, I realised that if I was going to have a girlfriend and possibly get married, I would need to earn some money. And I decided I would go back to study at the TAC and reset my A levels and try and get myself into an agricultural degree in Queens. You see, even though I hadn't enjoyed school, I was now glad that I'd been encouraged to stay on to do my A levels. This meant I only had to reset my A levels instead of starting on a 2-year A level course. God had his hand on my life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It was during my year at Bangor Tech I realised I was enjoying studying maths for A-level. And when the careers day came around, I found myself inquiring about the qualifications needed to study accountancy. This was not the way I had planned to go. The only thing agriculture and accountancy had in common was that they both started with the letter A. But God was leading and directing me in an unexpected way. And at the end of the year, resetting my A-levels, I was accepted into Jordanstown to study accountancy. This was a 3-year course. I was described as the grand of the class because now I was 23 and they were all 18. I don't think I completely gave up on farming. I'm a little like the Reverend Jonathan Crane, and I still had farming in my blood. So as I studied, I continued to farm too. And after graduating from the degree course, I got a training contract with an accountancy practice in Newtownards. There was lots of lovely Christian people who worked in the office, and God had been so good to me in placing me there. Some who also studied along with me at this time later came to know the Lord as their Saviour too, and they're still very good friends of mine until today. Studying to be an accountant doesn't stop after graduating from university. We worked 9 to 5 each day, and then on a Friday night and all day Saturday, we studied at Queen's from September until the following May. I never would have thought that I'd been sitting at Queen's listening to a lecture on Saturday instead of being outside on the farm, but God gave grace. In order to be a qualified chartered accountant, you have to study for a further 2 years and work for a total of 5 years before you've gained enough experience to become an accountant. So from the time I started on my journey to reset my A-levels until I qualified was almost 10 years. Lorna and I had gone on holidays in the summer to London, and the textbook somehow even made it to the suitcase on our holiday for my final exams. All through this time, I felt the Lord always leading and guiding me. There was one time when I felt I could no longer continue on. I'd finished my studies, and all I had to do was work out my contract, when suddenly I was offered a move to a new office in Belfast, where one of the bosses was setting up a new practice. The Lord knows how much pressure you can bear. We have all heard our new minister, the Reverend Martin, preaching on this. He reminded us recently to have faith in God. We all learn from going through difficult times and growing closer to God, depending more on him and less on ourselves. Since the Reverend Martin has come to be our minister this year, I have noticed more in his preaching the necessities to be closer to God, and this is done by prayer. We all have heard him talk about his prayer lists, and we can see in him the love and desire to serve his God and how the Lord uses him to proclaim his word. We all listened to him about his calling to Cumber. The Lord spoke to him, and he knew that that was the Lord's will. We all need to be walking closer to the Lord, to be at the prayer meeting, helping with the work of the Lord, and he will direct your path and lead you. We of ourselves cannot make our own way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary when he took upon our sins upon his body. He paid the ultimate sacrifice, and all we have to do is trust and obey. He will lead, and you must follow. The hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Life continued on for me, and I could see God's hand at work in so many ways. Lorna and I got married in 2001, despite the fact that she said she would never ever marry a farmer. God has blessed us with two children, Rebecca and Daniel, who trusted in the Lord for salvation at a very young age. Maybe you feel that your life has no direction and there's no purpose in your life. I watched the documentary last week on the life of the best ever football, Diego Maradona. Undoubtedly a very talented athlete, but the guy who we thought had it all really had nothing. Money can't buy you happiness. Even Maradona or even George Best, when playing football, they loved the adoration of the fans, but when the chanting all stopped and they went home, ultimately the happiness died too. The Lord can satisfy and give you a purpose in life. Being a born-again Christian isn't an easy life, and I confess I have many faults and have let the Lord down, but for me it is the only life worth living. Someone has said, it's not how you start the race, but it's how you finish it that counts. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. When we live close to the Lord, he will keep you to the end. I pray that you would trust and believe in him as I have done, and you too can really know and experience the love of the Lord. Thank you.
Well, let me just say a word of thanks to our brother David for once again sharing with us what the Lord hath done for his soul. And it's not just a testimony of a certain time, but the testimony of a lifetime. Salvation is for all eternity. And we're glad that the Lord has saved these two men and brought them to know Christ as their own and personal Saviour. And he has directed them in the big decisions of life, in the course of education and employment, in relationships and in all things. And they have trusted him and they have stepped out on the promise. They're under the blood and they're saved by sovereign grace. And their life continues to bear testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we think of both testimonies tonight, both men came to the Lord in different circumstances, that's for sure, at different times in their life's experience. Their backgrounds were different in every way, but there's one thing they both have in common, and that is there was a specific moment and a definitive time in their experience, in their life, whenever they knelt as a sinner at the cross, when they looked by faith to Christ. And there's been no conferring, there's been no looking at notes tonight. Both men have come. I don't believe they've shared notes with each other neither. We could bring anybody to this house tonight, and even our young people, the youngest child, willing to tell how the Lord saved them. And they'll all say the same thing, and that the church didn't save them. Baptism didn't save them. Confirmation didn't save them. Doing the best they can didn't save them. They'll all tell you, and they will share with you how they came to Christ. They realized they were sinners. Doesn't matter how they were brought up. Doesn't matter what their life had been or what sins they were involved in. They came to the Lord and they recognized they were sinners. And at a certain juncture in their lives, I think it was Kyle about 11 years of age, David was about 18 or so, 19, as we picked up on age there. So even the difference there, we can see that both realized that they were lost. My own wife last Lord's Day, she came to Christ when she was 8 years of age. All three recognizing this great truth that the world wants to hide from you and the devil wants to keep from you. And government legislation will be coming into this nation of ours, whereby we'll no longer be able to tell people that they're sinners, even though the Word of God teaches that. And they need to know that. We're the worst people in the world if we tell a person they have sinned. We're damaging them so-called psychologically. But when a doctor tells you you have cancer, they don't hate him. And a doctor tells you, we've looked at the scans and it's terminal. It's fatal. And there's no cure. We don't curse him up and down. We don't ban a doctor from telling us the truth. Well, whenever God, the great physician, looks into your soul and your heart and tells you you're a sinner. But he does more than that. He tells you not only that you're a sinner, lost and undone, but he also tells you about the cure, about the remedy for sin. And he sent his Son into this world to die for sinners. And Christ came, who is God blessed forevermore. We celebrate his birth at this time of the year. And we remember his first coming, when God was manifest in human flesh, born of a virgin, laid in that manger, and then lived that sinlessly perfect life, then gave himself into the hands of cruel and wicked men. And after man had done their worst to his body, lifted up between heaven and earth was he to die. And there on the cross he substituted himself in love to you and me. And he died for sinners and he died for our sins. And he rose again for our justification. And now he's a prince and a saviour, willing to save you from your sin. I want to tell you tonight that both these men came to Christ for salvation. And they were clear on that matter. And when they came, they were led the same way as a sinner coming to the cross, looking to Christ. And the Lord lifted them both out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, set their feet upon the rock, established their goings, put a new song in their mouths. And they sing that song. It's the song of the soul set free. Now, as we close our meeting tonight, I'll ask you the question. Just give me a moment of your time. Tell me, are you saved? Are you saved? I want that question now to hone in on you, and I want that question now to be faced by you. And you be honest about this. Are you saved? If you say, I'm not sure, well, listen to me, you need to be sure. If you say, I'm not, then I ask you another question. Why not? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Yes, I do. Do you believe that you cannot save yourself? Yes, I do. Do you believe that Christ died for you on the cross? Yes, I do. Do you believe that his blood can cleanse you and God can forgive you if you come in repentance and faith to him? Yes, I do. Then let me ask you, why haven't you come? Why have you not trusted in the Savior? Why have you not repented? Why have you not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul? Young person, older person, whoever you are tonight, I wonder, where do you stand with God? I wonder if we were to invite you and say to you to come into this pulpit and just share with a few folk, not even on the online ministry, and just tell us about your life. Could you look back to a time in your experience? You mightn't be able to write the date down, and that's not important. You mightn't be able to look at the flyleaf of your Bible and know the exact time, the day, the month, and the hour, and the year that you were saved. But one thing you can look back to, as these two men did, they can look back to a time when they passed from death unto life and came from darkness into light and were translated from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, could you tell that story? Could you tell us of a time in your life when you were born again, when you were saved, when you were converted to Christ, when you came as a sinner to the Lord? If not, why not make it tonight, the 6th of December, 2020. It's been a difficult year for many, one of the hardest years that we've ever had in our entire life's experience, a very difficult year. But you know, it can be even better for you if you come and trust in Christ. Will you do that tonight? Will you tell the Lord that you're truly sorry for your sin? Repent. And then look to Christ tonight and receive him into your heart. For whosoever, that means you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, to know for sure that you are born again of God's Spirit and you're washed in the blood. It's a wonderful thing to know you have peace with God, that you're ready to meet the Lord if the Lord was to return, if the Lord was to come back tonight. What if 2020, and we're not finished with the year yet, was the year of the Lord's return? Everybody thinking of 2021 and a vaccine and getting back to normality. What if the Lord interrupted history and intervened in this year and brought this year to a close and a climax in his appearing. And he returned. What if he returned tonight? Where do you stand with God? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you prepared to meet God? Because you will meet him, whether saved or unsaved, whether in Christ or out of Christ. You're going to meet God and see him face to face and stand before him. And the Lord's coming back again. And time is short. And soon hastens the day when the door of mercy is. Our brother Kyle spoke about endureth forever. That's for his people, those who have repented. But that door of mercy is slammed shut. You know what happened there? Nobody slammed the door. But it's slammed shut. And it's shut forever. And the opportunity to get right with God is gone. Don't waste that moment. Don't waste this hour. But today, if you will hear his voice, then harden not your heart, but come to Christ, repent and believe. I pray God will bless the special ministry and song from our sister Vivian. We thank her very sincerely for ministering in song, and also to Kyle and David for sharing with us a personal word of testimony. Heavenly Father, we ask now that thou will bless that which has been of thyself tonight. Our hearts have been blessed. We've been uplifted. Lord, we've been rejoicing in what the Lord hath done for the souls of our brother Kyle and our brother David. Thank you for the ministry of Vivian in song. Thank you for gifts and talents used and employed in the Master's service. Thank thee too for our media team and for those who have listened and stayed with the service tonight. Encourage their hearts. And Lord, remember some who are listening who are out of Christ. They're not saved. They're not sure. Lord, we pray that they might truly repent. They may leave their sin, repent of their sin, and look to Christ alone for salvation. Lord, you're able to save them. You're willing to save them. If they'll only come and they'll only believe, they'll only trust, then Lord, you will save them. You will save them now. And you'll forgive them. You'll wash them. You'll make them new creatures in Christ. And Lord, you'll keep them. Lord, they've nothing to worry about keeping salvation. It's not up to us. Lord, you'll keep them from falling. And you'll keep them, O God, until the day when you either call them home or you come again thyself. So hear our prayer and continue to bless the work here in Cumber and the congregation and the families. Remember the sick and the sorrowing. Remember those who have been, O God, through very turbulent and difficult times this year, and some still isolating and shielding. Lord, draw near in the loneliness and minister, we pray. And bless the family unit, our young people and the boys and girls, the little lambs of the flock. And God grant that we'll see souls saved before the year closes, and thy church revived and Christ honoured and glorified. We ask these things now, giving thanks to thee and acknowledging thy help and giving thanks for it, in Jesus' precious and worthy name.